Welcome back to A New You, Life After Lust is Suicide. I'm Trisha.
I'm Dawn.
And today we're going to be talking about faith. There's a lot of different topics regarding faith and suicide. So we're just going to kind of dive in and see where it leads us from here. But it's been a big discussion between Dawn and myself. Because after something like this happens, you definitely question everything in your life, including your faith. You question what you know, what you don't know. So we're going to dig into it a little bit and see where we go.
So I'm going to start off with faith. I don't believe that it has to be necessarily a religion that you belong to. I think it is believing in something that is bigger than us, whether that is a God, which I believe it is, or whether it's just something bigger. I think everybody has different perceptions in what they believe.
I would agree. And a lot of people can be very much involved in their faith and their religion. And when you have a world-shaking experience like this, you begin to question that. You know, I will say, growing up, we always went to Sunday school with our grandma. I went to church. Would I say I was an extremely religious person? No. I am a spiritual person. I believe in a higher power, and I believe that we're not here alone. But I also don't believe that everybody's idea of church is the same thing. Some people draw a greater peace from being in the wilderness, and that's where they pray, and they pray to their God, and they do what they do for their religion or their faith. So it is a very wide spectrum, and I've always been one to joke about there's three things I don't talk to people about. It's politics, religion, and child rearing, because you're going to make someone mad. So this is kind of something I don't normally do. So am I religious? I would say no. Am I spiritual? Or do I have faith? Absolutely. And for me, I think the journey that we walk, there's no way to survive it without some sort of faith or spirituality.
And I have found that my faith has probably gotten stronger. And maybe it's just because I want more of a connection with my daughter who has passed. We're trying to figure out how to make that connection. I do believe that a lot of people, especially after the loss, you know, have questioned why God would do something like that to them. And I may have questioned that, but it was very brief for me. I know the reasons. I understand them. I don't like them, but I accept them. And I do feel like part of our faith is growing as a person and changing. And, you know, that was part of her story, which has become part of my story as well. But I've actually found my faith stronger.
I think it definitely opens your eyes up to a need to find a greater connection or find that space that works for you to bring you peace in some sort. I remember the night that Morgan died, and we were driving back home, and my brother-in-law was driving, and he was holding my hand, and I was staring out the window crying. And why it occurred to me to ask this, I don't know, but, I mean, he had already lost two sons to suicide. And I asked him if he believed in heaven. And he was very matter-of-fact, and he is a very religious person. He was very matter-of-fact, and he said, Trisha, I have to. Because for me to go on every day, I have to believe that at some point I will see them again. And I think it started brewing with me that night. Like, I didn't know where my faith would come in this journey. I just knew that I had to have something more to cling to. And I think we dove into books and reading and finding, you know, reading about other people's paths and how they got through this. And there is a brief period of why. You're angry at the world, you're angry at God, you're angry that, you know, someone who doesn't take care of their child still has them and I don't have mine, or there's this awful person that's still here and my daughter's not here. That passes fairly quickly. It's the initial, you're angry at everything. It passes fairly quickly, and you begin to look for little pieces that you have to have just to hold yourself to the earth. It's like you're reaching for gravity somewhere. We talked back and forth a lot, Dawn and I have, about different books we've read and how other people have handled it. And so we have batted around the faith question, because certain books we've read that you'll run into these people that, oh, you know, suicide, that's, you know, that's not something that's forgiven. You don't know that you're going to get in heaven. And I had said something about, I know she's in heaven, and this gal had said, oh, she's not gone to heaven. You know, suicide, you don't go to heaven. And I said, well, you know, the first thing you teach a child when they go to church, the first thing you teach them in Sunday school is that our God is an all-forgiving God. So if we're going to teach that, then of course she's in heaven. She's made her mistakes. She's done what she's done. And she's answered for that. She's had her reckoning day, and she's confessed and her sins, and she's been forgiven, and of course she's in heaven, because that's what we teach our children from the get-go. So I do have a little bit of, like, I'll get my hackles up a little bit when someone says, oh, she's not in heaven. Or suicide is a very looked down upon thing in certain religions, and they're like, they believe that people that have a stronger faith are immune to suicide, or there's a less likelihood of suicide, and that's not necessarily the case. Suicide is a lot more complicated than that, as well as, you know, your faith is a lot more complicated than that. For suicide to actually take place and happen in their life, it is what they call the perfect storm. There's a whole bunch of different factors that come into that, and it's not necessarily all the beliefs. It could be mental illness. It could be a chemical imbalance. It could be a relationship. It could be abuse, trauma. It's a lot of different things. It's not just... your faith is not the only factor that plays into that, and I don't believe your faith is able to save you from that. And we talked about this, you know, the why God, and we did some reading and looking around on the internet, and, you know, why did God give our daughter's mental illness? Why couldn't he fix that? Well, that's a part of God that you have to accept also, that the bad things that happen aren't necessarily all his doing, just like the good things aren't all his doing. I mean, did he give her a mental illness? No. It's just one of those things that happened. So therefore, is he also able to negate that or stop this from happening? Clearly not. It's your faith that gets you through those moments. It's not necessarily your faith that prevents those moments.
And there's a lot of people, too, who believe, and again, there's different beliefs, not right, wrong. We're not judging on this. We're just bringing it out in the open. But there are people who believe that you choose the path, that when you come to Earth, you choose what journey you're going to be on. So maybe mental illness was part of that. And for what reason? Maybe you have a lesson that you need to learn while you're here on Earth so that you can be better when you return to heaven. You know, I don't have the answers. I've not been to heaven, or maybe I have and I don't remember it. I don't know. I know what's in front of me right now, and that my faith is very strong. And again, I think it goes back to just because I want so strongly to have that connection and see my loved ones and my friends and family on the other side and know that there was a purpose for the life that we lived here on Earth. What does that look like for people who don't have that? I don't have the answer to that either. I've said many times I worry about those people, because faith is also about having a community supporting you, hopefully. Faith is the church community. It's the people that, you know, you make those connections with for whatever reasons. And I just think it's important to have that support.
It is. And when you talk about people that don't have that, like, I have someone very close to me who was raised in a devout Catholic household and lost a child many, many years ago. And then several other things have happened. And that person is very cut and dry as far as what they believe in and how their faith has changed. And I understand everybody's on their own thing. And if I said I knew exactly where my faith lied, that would be a lie. I don't. Some days I think I need that belief just to get me through that day. Other days, do I say, put my hands up and say, screw it? Absolutely. It just depends on where I'm at in life. Do I believe I have to go sit in a church and put money down for someone to tell me that? No, I'm not that person. I do believe there's something out there. I do believe that we have a guiding force. And I do believe to survive this, I have to believe that. But, you know, this person is very close in my life, and he says, when you die, you're just gone. It's just gone, you're dead. And everything's darkened. So all these people live their whole life saying, I'm sorry for everything. And they're just going to die and it's all going to be the same. Now, that person is still a wonderful person. That's his belief. So I would, you know, that's, which is why I don't often talk religion. But I just think we put a lot of weight on what everyone else thinks. And everybody interprets scripture their own way, just like we interpret anything else we read. if the, like the scripture tells you that we're all fallen people. So teens, adults, parents, children, believers, unbelievers, none of us are oblivious to that. None of us can avoid that. Everyone's fallen. So from a biblical perspective for that, as well as medical and psychological, it's purely a human condition. So if everyone is fallen, then that means that Christians aren't immune from suicide or mental illness. So it's just basically what you carry to get you through. Everybody is different, but I found that none of that ever offended me before or rubbed me the wrong way. Now, when they're talking about my child and, oh, she's gone to hell. Yeah, it offends me. And I do think your faith fluctuates in, you know, how your life fluctuates, how it changes.
And I do see, you know, the churches coming around a little bit more on that, where, you know, before it was just a sin and now it's being looked at as a mental illness or an illness, and you can't blame somebody for that. Two of the things that I have found is, you know, when we talk about faith, it's believing in things that you can't necessarily see, kind of diving into the unknown. And one of the analogies that we use is, can you see the air that you breathe? No, not usually anyway, but you know it's there. And to me, that's kind of like my faith. I can't necessarily see everything or the big picture in it, but I know it's there. And there are times where you can compare it with a chair. You can sit in a chair, and sometimes that chair can break. And our faith can do the same thing. There are times where we want to blame things. We want to try to understand it. We want to know all the answers right now, and that's not always possible. But I think it's important that we recognize it. And, you know, we can ask why all we want. And in my faith, it doesn't do me any good. I'm not going to have the answers right now. At some point, I'm hoping to have the answers when I make it to heaven and reunite with God. But I also believe that right now, I just need to continue living the journey that I'm on. And when I get there, I won't have to worry about asking those questions because I will know.
Right. And I think a lot of times my faith doesn't lie so much in scripture. It is, you can choose to look at it. You know, I lost this. He took this away. It's gone. Is it loss versus blessings? You know, I can choose to believe that I got a raw deal because I lost her. Or I can choose to believe that I was blessed and chosen to be her mom for 22 years. And that those were the best years of my life. So faith doesn't always have to go back to a church or biblical. It's just faith in the life process itself. I have to have faith that someone knew what they were doing when they put Morgan with me, because she was a wonderful person and she was a huge part of all of our lives. So that's kind of how I survive some days, is I focus on what we were blessed with. We were blessed for 22 years. There's a lot of people that don't get 22 years.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, and I wanted to kind of go back, and one of the things that you talked about too is, you know, in the beginning and how you feel initially. I think it's important for people that are just joining us to know that those feelings can sneak up on you at any time. Again, I think at the beginning, there was probably more of that, why did this happen? Why did God do this to me? And then I think there was probably a period where my faith became stronger and I had that blessing more so. And probably more times than not, I'm just blessed that we had that 23 years or 22 years with our kids. But I also know that at any given moment, whether it's when we're sitting here talking now or whether it's driving in the car, you know, those emotions can come back at any time. And that is perfectly normal. And I think that's part of why we're trying to do this podcast, is we want you to understand that whatever you're feeling, wherever you are on this journey, it's normal. I talked to a mother the other day who had lost her son 30 years ago, and she said still every day can be a challenge for her. There's something that reminds her of him, and she's a new person. I don't know how to describe it, but I'm just thinking, you know, 30 years from now, I can't imagine a year.
You're right. I was talking to a gal here in town just the other day, and she lost her daughter to cystic fibrosis, so it wasn't suicide, but it still leaves the hole. And she said, do you think we'll ever get back to who we were? And this is a conversation you and I have had, which is specifically why we named everything the new you, because I don't think there's any going back. We are so fundamentally changed. Everything in our world has changed, and it doesn't all have to be horrible. That experience was horrible, and that loss was horrible, and we will always feel that, and there will always be this empty spot, but there's certain things. You evolve when you go through something like that. You change. Your visions broaden, like, your understanding of the world changes. So, like you said, it's a path. Would I ever want to go back to living in the denial? I would go back to having her in a heartbeat, but there's something that comes with this that is, it is just a broader understanding of the universe. And there just isn't any going back. We have to learn to live in the new life that we have. And sometimes it's uncomfortable for us. Oftentimes it's very more so uncomfortable for the people around us, mm-hmm. because they want us, you know, they want mom to be mom before. And there's just no going back. So I have to have faith that I'm doing something right. Like, I'm doing things that move me in a forward direction. And we've talked about that. I don't care where we're going, as long as it's forward. Can I go back to how I felt that first day or that first week or that first month? No. I couldn't survive in that mode. There are people that stick in that mode forever. I just know for me, there's no way I could stick there. Forever.
And maybe you could for a very short period of time, but it would not be healthy for a long period of time. I agree. And I do. I think we find ourselves back there. I was just talking with another mom the other day about, you know, the day the cop showed up at the door to let us know, and just reliving those memories. And, you know, would you have done something different? I don't know. And it doesn't matter, because we're not going to change it. But if there's a way that we can help someone else, then, again, that's why we're here. Not only to help ourselves, because it has been very healing for us to be able to talk to someone, but it's important to help other people too. And I think that's part of our journey. I think we met each other for this reason. Maybe it was to strengthen our faith. Maybe it was to just help one other person. And I feel like we've done that. We've had quite a few different people reach out, and it's been exciting. So thank you to those who have. We really appreciate your feedback, and it's important that, you know, we're on this journey together. Nobody is alone, and we need to be warriors for each other.
Right, and you find new avenues. Like, we've met so many different people in this by just sharing this, and you do find new avenues where you can release that, whether it's, you know, you're praying or you're doing Reiki or you're doing whatever you're doing, but you meet different people that bring something to the plate. And you have to believe there's a higher force in some of that, because there's no way, like, you and I would have ever met without this one person that was at one point a stranger to both of us. So it's crazy. And things happen in a weird way. And we were talking before the show today, like, the church where I had Morgan's funeral, I remember planning the funeral, and the first thing I said to my mom was, I am not a huge fan. When we set it up, I felt in my head this was going to go a certain way, you know. This pastor was going to come in, he was going to have all the answers for me, and it was going to be a great experience. And when I left there, I felt very frustrated. And of course, I was in that why mode still, very agitated, and it ended up being a great service, but I'd never gone to the church after that. I had very little interaction with the pastor after that. I was kind of stuck in my whatever, trying to just deal and get by. And my thing is, we used to talk in the car every night. So on the way home from work sucks for me every day. It has since the day she left. And I'll listen to music, and everybody will try to call me and make it better. It's not her, so I don't answer. But I'll drive around and I'll listen to music. So I came into town one night, and there was a song on that I was really wanting to listen to, so I was just driving around town, and it was 8:30, it was dark, and I just happened to drive past the church where we'd had her service, and on a Thursday night, it would be very odd for every light in the church to be on, and I thought, that's weird. So I pulled into the parking lot, and I was just listening to music, sitting there staring at the church, you know, and the thought that crossed my mind is, the last time I was in that church was when we said goodbye to her. And I thought that church had 500 people in it that day. I wonder how many of those people walked out that door and just went right back to their life and never gave her another thought. And then you kind of get pissy about it, you know? You're like, God, how do they do that? And I'm sitting there and I'm listening to the radio. I have this friend from work who's very in tune with people's feelings. Like, she feels me when I'm doing something weird or thinking something weird. And so I got a text message that says, you need to go in. And I played dumb. I said, what do you mean go in? She said, I don't know where you're at or what you're doing, but you're outside and you need to go inside. And I thought, you are the creepiest person I know. Like, how do you know this? And as I'm texting her back, the front doors of the church open and here comes the pastor and I see him and his wife. And I thought, oh, yep. Now there's no going back now. You know, and he walks to the car and he said, are you okay? And I said, I'm okay. And I said, I don't know if you know who I am. And he said, oh, I know who you are. I remember you. And I said, I was just having a moment and I was driving around. He said, well, I've been watching you from the window for about an hour. And I don't normally work on Thursdays, but I forgot my coffee and I called my wife and made her run it over. But she felt weird coming in the front door because there was a car outside. So she came in the back door and told me there was someone sitting outside. He said, we've been watching you and we could clearly see it was a woman in the car and you were having a moment. He said, I considered calling the police to do a welfare check. And my wife kind of scolded me, like, clearly this is a woman, you can go out and check on her, like, he said. So I came outside, and something tells me that you're here for a reason. And I said, well, I don't know, I was just driving around. And he said, why don't you come in? And I kind of hem-hawed, you know, drug my feet. I looked at the clock, and it's 9:30. I'd been sitting there an hour and a half, so clearly, no wonder he was looking out the window at me. So I did go in, and while him and I don't think, had a great connection off the get-go, his wife stayed. And we were approaching the holidays at that point, and I was just in this really down mode. I didn't want to do it, and I was angry at the world, and I just missed her, and I wanted something to make it feel better. And we talked for a while, and I'm like, people just don't get it. And his wife looked at me, and she said, I get it. She said, my daughter died the week of Christmas. And she said, I was so sure I wasn't having Christmas with my kids. Well, then I felt silly. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm preaching to the choir. You know, she knows what. And she told me how she made it through. Like, she had the Christmas anyway for the kids. And they made new traditions and new things. And we, you know, it was 9:30 when I walked in that church door. And at 1:30, my husband texted me and said, are you okay? Because my brother-in-law, of course, had told him she's at the church. And at 1:30 on a Thursday, you know, 1:30 on a Friday morning, he's thinking, yeah, right, she's at the church, I'm sure. And we sat there and we talked. We talked about all kinds of things. And he asked me where I was at in my faith or if I'd owned a Bible. Well, of course, I own a Bible. Yes, I've been to church. I went to church. I grew up with faith. But where my faith is right now was in the dumps, you know? Like, I didn't know where I was at. He said to me, and I'll probably never forget this. He said, Trisha, you are looking for, he said, you want to make such a big impact. You are looking for this one thing that's going to make a huge difference in the world. And he said, I don't know what that thing it would be for you, but I'm going to tell you, some of the most revered biblical people in history didn't make one big impact. They made 1,000 little things that left a huge impact on the religious community. He said, it's not always a big thing that makes a difference. He said, I'm a firm believer that people come to a place because they're supposed to be there. He said, 2 days ago, he had had his sons in the neighboring town getting their hair cut. And a woman had asked him if he had ever considered hosting a grief share group. And he said, no, he was a young pastor, and it was not something he'd ever had experience with, and it hadn't even dawned on him. And she said, there's a definite need in our community, and I've approached several other leaders, and nobody's interested. And he said, give me some time, let me think about it, and when we come back and get a haircut next time, we'll talk about it. He said, so that was 2 days ago, and here we are, 2 days later. You are sitting in front of my church on a night I'm not supposed to be here, and you're here and I'm here. He said, people come to a place that they're supposed to be for a reason. So that leads me back to you. And I'm still talking with them about grief sharing and getting it started and how to go about it. But when I got the call from Angie that said, you have to meet this woman. I don't know why. I don't understand it. But you have to meet this woman. there's something there. And I thought, you know, okay, what worse can happen this year? We'll give it a shot, right? And it just clicked for us. Had I not met you, would I be the place where I'm at right now? Probably not. But I can look back at his conversation now and think, absolutely. Sometimes whatever your faith is, whatever you believe in, it brings you to where you need to be. Whether it's where you want to be or not, that's a different story, but it's where you need to be.
And I think, too, talking about those coincidences or the people who are intuitive, again, there are many people who don't believe in that. I do. And I think having an open mind to that has helped me a great deal. And I'm not judging if you don't have that. Let me explain that. But for me, there have been many different signs, and maybe not necessarily the ones I'm expecting. You know, I might walk outside and say, I want to see a cardinal. Maybe that will remind me of her. And of course, there's no cardinal. So then it's kind of devastating. But I think there's a lot of different signs. I was telling Trisha the other day, I'd gotten a text message. It was a Tuesday. And that morning, I just been struggling. I haven't slept the greatest probably in the last 9 months or so. And it's hard at night when you're so tired and exhausted, but yet your mind just won't shut off. And it's not every night, but regardless, I've been trying to make that connection with my daughter, and I was not able to. And this Tuesday morning, I had gotten up and I got a text message from someone who is a good friend and also has some of those intuitive thoughts, feelings. And she said, I don't know why. She said, but I just feel like that I was supposed to reach out to you. She said, the last few days, I'm just getting this nagging thought that I need to reach out and tell you how proud I am of you and that Brittany really is truly proud of you for all that you're doing. And she said, I hadn't done that. And then this particular morning, she sent me that message. And she said, as soon as I sent it, I didn't have that nagging feeling anymore. She said, I felt like, okay, now I can go on doing what I need to do. And I so desperately needed to hear that particular day. So I do. I believe in those signs. And she said, part of that is that you have to, grief can be challenging. You don't always get those signs that you want or need because grief is blocking that. And she said, you know, meditation is great. Journaling, just being grateful, gratitude journal, I guess is what they called it. And just being open. So I think, you know, there are signs there that we don't always see because of our grief. But I think it's important, you know, in my faith that I'm able to open up to those when I do see them.
I agree. And there's certain things that you don't even think of faith when they happen. Like, I have a certain friend that we can go a couple months without talking, and then I'll just get this feeling like, oh, I got to call her. And so I'll call her, and she's like, how do you know that I was just thinking about calling you? I don't know. It's just one of those things, and we've always been that way. Or a family friend that's known me for 30 years this year, that seems crazy, 30 years, said to me the other day, I remember what you said to me on the day of her service, and it stuck with me, and it just haunted me, because I needed to talk to you, but I didn't know how to open the conversation, and I clearly had no idea what he was talking about. I said, I don't even remember what I said, and he said, I waited in that line forever to hug you, and I got to you, and I hugged you, and you said, I had one job. It was to keep her safe, and I failed that one job. I did say that. I've said that thousands and thousands of times. And he said, I left that day, and it just stuck, and I couldn't get rid of it. And he said, I knew I had so much to tell you, and I had to find an opening. And he said, one day it was just heavy on my mind. You had posted something, and I didn't know where to put it in. And he said, out of the blue, you sent me a message about something completely different. And I asked how you were doing, and it opened the conversation. So he was able to tell me his story. And I won't spill that because at some point we'll have him on here. But crazy that things just fall into place when you need them to fall into place. Even when we feel like we're floundering in this path we've been given, there's certain things that just are dropped at our feet that are like, hey, pay attention, you know? And some days we miss them, so they have to drop it a couple times. Like, we're really not observant some days.
And I think that floundering is okay at times, too, because it makes us appreciate things a little bit more. You know, I definitely appreciate the time that I had with my daughter. Again, are there things that I would love to have done differently? Absolutely. But I appreciate the opportunity that we had. And I think that's where it goes back to being grateful and showing that gratitude. I can live in all the what ifs and the whys, and it serves me no purpose. My purpose is to learn from that. And again, what suicide did isn't all bad. It's brought a lot of good changes to our lives too. And it's made us more aware of many things, and it's given us new friendships, and it's kind of, you know, cleared the air in some ways. It sucks. I'm not going to lie. It sucks in a lot of ways too. But
it's like getting the pretty unicorn band-aid after you get shots, right? Like, yeah, that hurt like hell, but there's something that's going to cover that later, you know? Right. It's a lot of good and bad together. Would I want to do it again? If I had the option to do this or have her back, oh, hell yeah, she's coming back. It's not an option. So we have to make the best of what we have left. Right. And there are weird things that happen, like getting overly tired. You and I both, we don't sleep for shit. And I average 2 hours a night at best. And so in the last 3 weeks, my voice, and I apologize, I don't really smoke 10 packs of cigarettes a day, I promise. But about 3 weeks ago, my voice decided to go out, and I have yet to be able to find it completely. And everybody's like, oh, are you sick? Nope, I am just tired. I have no idea what's going on. I'm still going, but it's weird things that happen. And my mom said to me, she said, that's your sign to slow down. Yeah, you're tired, you need to slow down.
As we're sitting here doing another podcast.
Right? We're sitting, though, right?
That's
it counts.
Right. That's right. That's right. Well, I think we're going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. We, again, thank you all for joining us today, and please continue to reach out and give us the feedback, any questions, any episodes that you'd like to hear. We would love to hear from you, so.
Wherever you're at is okay. It's just whatever gets you through the day, and however you have to grieve is how you have to grieve, and that's all. It's all perfectly okay.
All right. Have a good one, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
If you or someone you know is in crisis or struggling with mental health or suicidal thoughts, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK. Again, that's 1-800-273-8255. You can also find resources at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.